Okay, guys, why don't we go ahead and start to pray? But we're actually going to pray two things. I just got a call from my college roommate, and his oldest son was just in a car accident. And they went head-on with another car, so he's has some brain trauma that he's in surgery, literally in surgery for right now. So we're going to pray for him. His name's Andrew. And then we're also going to pray for the rest of our day. All right? So we begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I just pray that at this very moment you would be with Andrew, be with his mom and dad, John and Lisa, be with the doctors, that you would take care of them. Whatever injuries there are that we ask, even at this moment, you begin your healing to be upon them. And Father, we ask your Holy Spirit to be with us this afternoon for this time together. Do me a favor, you guys, just pray in your own mind and your own heart that your mind and your heart could be open. The reality is it's not just what I say, it's not just what Jason or any of the speakers say, but it's also what you hear in your mind and your heart being opened. So we ask, Lord, that you would come with your Holy Spirit upon us and that you would fill us with your grace. We pray together, glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and world without end. Amen. Amen? Amen. Okay, guys, I look forward to be with you for the next few minutes. It's fairly quick, so we've got a lot to do, and this is a workshop, all right? So the workshops, you're supposed to learn something. Amen? Amen. So you come here because the theme of this particular workshop is God's plan revealed. So here's the thing. By the time you leave this workshop, everybody here is going to know what they're supposed to do for the rest of their life. Sweet. That's right. That's right. So, I don't know what they're learning over there, but we got it set up here. Okay, first off, in the very beginning, we have to know this, all right? That God has a plan for your life. Your life is not random, and you matter. I mean, that's the beginning point. For if we're going to understand that God has a plan for you, we have to understand and believe that your life matters. The circumstances of your birth might be random, right? There's actually somebody here who was here like 14 years ago. John was 14 years ago. His mom literally went in labor at the conference, all right? She had the birth right here on this stage. That's not true. I just think it would be really cool, right? So all of that stuff that goes into your birth and conception and all of, there's a sense of randomness to that, but there is nothing random about you as a person, all right? I remember someone really sad said to me one time, just talking about this, that God has something good for me. He said, Father Dave, I'm a mistake. He said, I was a mistake. My mom and dad didn't even want to have me. I've dealt with other people whose mom and dad got pregnant before they were married or kids whose mom and dad were never married, and they say, I mean, I'm a mistake. Brothers and sisters, that's a lie. Amen? Amen? You matter. Your life matters. It doesn't matter the circumstances of which you were born. You can see none of that stuff matters as it relates to you being important to God and Him having a plan for your life. Amen? Because you are more than just your body. Obviously, your mother and your father, as we heard, you come together, we create human life. I mean, that's fantastic and that's beautiful. But you are more than your body. Your body is only part of you. The definition of you as being a human person is you are flesh and soul, right? Right? You are flesh and you are soul. You are flesh and you are spirit. That's what makes you human. Amen? So that you have a body and you have a soul. And God was very intentional. The moment you were conceived, He gives you a soul, and that makes you you. Amen? It makes you who you are. Now, I find it very interesting that I'm going to be actually quoting Chris Pratt a couple of times in this talk. Did anyone see the talk that he gave at the MTV Awards? So it's really cool. He just recently got award for something for. All right. But what he went on and he gave like 9 secrets of life. It's all called the Chris Pratt 9 points of life. About 3 of them, not so great. But the others are really good. And it's interesting, listening to Chris Pratt, and he's at these MTV Awards, and there's all these famous people and all that, and he says, well, the first thing he said, the first rule of life is breathe. He said, if you don't breathe, you'll die. That's a good rule, all right? Second thing Chris Pratt says is, you have a soul, take care of it. You have a soul, take care of it. Brothers and sisters, the only part of you that's going to last forever is your soul. The reality is each one of us are going to die and our bodies are going to decompose and we're going to be, except some bodies don't, I was just in France, I'm going to talk about it. Like Saint Bernadette, her body did not decompose, it's incorrupt. She looks better than I do right now and she's been dead for 100 years, all right? Which is pretty, so most people's bodies are going to decompose, right? But not your soul. And that's, again, what makes you you, that it's the thing that the world can't give. It's the thing that God gives. So I find it interesting that the second thing that Chris Pratt says is, you have a soul, take care of it. And why this is important is because your body and your soul makes you who you are. And because of that, God cares about you. He has a plan for you. Your life matters. It's not inconsequential. It's not just a mistake, amen? The reason I start there is because if you believe that you are just random, if you believe this whole thing was just some cosmic mistake or whatever happens, happens, then you don't really believe that God has a plan for you. And you don't necessarily believe that that plan for you is good and wonderful and all those kinds of things because we just think it's all a mess, amen? So God has a plan for you. You have a body, you have a soul, and he delights in that, amen? You are not a mistake. Repeat after me, I am not a mistake. God has a plan for you. And that plan is to be in relationship with you now and forever. The plan, the desire, the will of God as he reveals is that he is in relationship with you now and forever. I find this amazing that I'm going to go back to Chris Pratt. All right, he says, God is real. He loves you, and he wants the best for you. Believe that. The prophet Jeremiah put it this way. For I know well the plans that I have for you, plans of welfare, not for woe, so as to give you a future full of hope. Then when we try to figure out what is it that God's plan, what is he trying to reveal for us, it's important that we understand that, you guys, that God has a plan for you, and that plan is good. He's got a plan of peace and a plan of goodness and a plan of hope and all that. That doesn't mean that bad things aren't going to happen in our life because bad things are going to happen in everybody's life. Amen? My mom's got multiple sclerosis. So since the time I was 5 years old, I was raised with a mom who has MS. And there were times that was really, really difficult. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't have a good plan for me and rally that it becomes a blessing. And I know that some of you have had difficulties in your life and families and all that kind of sickness and all that, right? But that does not mean that God doesn't have a good plan for us. And he has a plan for peace and a plan for happiness and a plan for hope. Amen? Not despair. I think sometimes when we think of God, we have kind of this adversarial relationship with God that he's not really for us. That, well, as we heard last night, that he's this God who's just waiting for us to make mistakes, kind of like a cop, right? And we just got to make sure we do everything. God is on your side. He is for you, amen? And when he looks at your future, he has this future that he wants to be able to give you and reveal to you so that you can know his blessings and his grace, amen? Again, the prophet Jeremiah says, right, that I have plans for you, plans for your welfare, not for your woe, plans for a future full of hope. God's will for you is to be ultimately, and this is everybody should know this, God's will for you is to be holy and to be a saint. Here's how Chris Pratt put this, and I quote, don't be a turd. That's probably the only thing you're going to remember from this, right? God wants you to be a saint. What is his will for you? He wants you to be a saint. The only problem is, I think oftentimes when we think of saints, we kind of have this image of an English butler, right? This English butler that's always proper and always like very, they just bow a lot. And we have this image of a saint who doesn't really have any fun, right? A saint is always serious and a saint never does anything wrong. And we heard Jason saying earlier that saints have made mistakes, amen? So here's the thing about the saint. The saint is the one who gets up one more time than he falls. Have you ever thought about you being a saint? I think sometimes we have this image of saints' lives are boring and they're just... I was just in Lourdes, France, which is amazing. This was this little girl, Bernadette, who our Blessed Mother appears to her, and she hears her say, "If you do what I ask you," right? "People from all over the world and every nation will come to this little town in Lourdes." So we're together. I was there on Monday. Monday night, we're together, and there are people from maybe 200, maybe 20,000, 25,000 people that came together that night because of a 14-year-old girl. I went to Therese in Lisieux. People from all over the world are going to visit this girl. She dies when she's 24 years old. She's a doctor of the church, and what she writes is just the story of her life. God wants you to be a saint. Given your gifts and your talents, your humor, your foibles, God wants us, each one of us, to be a saint. Amen? Have you ever thought, do me a favor, just close your eyes for a second and ask yourself, have you ever seriously considered the fact that God would want you to be a saint? But I think oftentimes when we think of saints, we think of somebody other than me. When we think of what it is to be holy, we think of somebody other than that. Amen? Here's the thing. When I was a kid, I'm going to talk about it a bit in a second. I always thought about being a priest. But my personality type is like the smallest personality type of priest because I'm an extrovert and I like to fool around and I like to just, like I remember when I was a postulant. Now, when you're a postulant, that's your first year in religious life, so you don't wear a habit or anything like that. There is nothing lower than a postulant, okay? A freshman in high school has more power and influence over a postulant, amen? So me, I was a postulant. We're visiting the novitiate. The novitiate is the next step up, all right? So we go to the novitiate, and me and the other postulants, we decided to go and short sheet the beds of all the novices. We thought that would be funny, all right? Apparently it wasn't. You see, my personality is just kind of, I don't think before I do things. Anybody like that? Okay. So, a couple of months after this, we were just fooling around. I don't remember what we were doing. And this guy looked at me, and this guy was in vows, all right? He was in vows, and he was like, "Oh, my gosh, I can't wait till I get in vows." And I don't know. I was screwing around. I was doing something stupid. And he looked at me, and he said, "Dave, I used to think you were holy, but now I realize you're an extrovert." What does that mean? But seriously, here's what it meant to me, all right? Here's what it meant to me. If I'm going to be holy, I got to be quieter. Holy people, they carry incense with them wherever they go, all right? Just in case you need some incense, right? It's like, I got you ready. Holy people, right? Holy people bow a lot more than I do. Holy people kneel down a lot more than I do. Holy people speak Latin. Huh? God wants you to be holy, but here's the thing. He wants you to be a saint, but he wants you to be a saint the way you are. The way he's created you to be. I like what Pope Francis just said. When he's talking about his saint, he says, "There are some testimonies that prove helpful when thinking about the saints, and they inspire us. But they are not meant to be copied, for they could lead you down astray in a specific path that is not the Lord's, that is not yours to follow." God wants you to be a saint, but he wants you to blaze your own trail. He doesn't need another Mother Teresa. He doesn't need another Francis of Assisi. He needs a John of Springfield or a Karen of St. Louis or a, wherever you are, from Omaha. There's probably going to be a saint from Omaha, right? Seriously. Seriously, think about this. In 100 years from now, people are going to go and they're going to visit Omaha, Nebraska, right? God wants you to be a saint. Now, being a saint doesn't mean that you do it like everybody else, but it means blazing your own trail. But the most important thing, and I want you to hear this and listen to this, is that what the saint does is he takes his talents, her gifts, her strengths, her weaknesses, and she says, "God, my life doesn't belong to me, but it is a gift from you, and I now live it for you. Now, how do you want me to live?" This is the most important question I think any one of you needs to be able to ask, and that is, how do you want me to live? It's the rich young man who runs up to Jesus and says, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? I mean, that's the question for each one of us, right? If you can't answer that question, if you don't know what it is that God wants you to do, then how are we going to become saints? So what we have to be able to do is say, Lord, I live my life for you. It's not about me anymore. Amen? That I live my life for you. And I'm going to follow your will. But not just these major life choices, but in all these little things. So the question is what does God want you to do, and how do we know what that is? So, Psalm 34:7 said, the Lord longs to fulfill the deepest desire of your heart. This is key for us to be able to follow the will of God and have his plan revealed to us. Again, Psalm 37:4. The Lord longs to fulfill the deepest desire of your heart. Now, what is that deepest desire of your heart? You see, that's what takes time to get to. That's what we have to be able to allow God to reveal. But what's important of us is we always listen to that and what I said earlier, and that is that I give my heart to the Lord. Because my heart over the years has told me some really stupid things. Amen? Sometimes my heart tells me to do things that I probably shouldn't have done. So this idea of what it is that God wants us to do is an image of God that he wants to be able to reveal that to us, and he reveals it to us by showing us our own heart. Here's the thing, is that following our heart is always following the good, all right? It always follows the good. That God isn't going to ask us to do something that we're not supposed to do. Like I remember when I was a kid, and I was thinking about, Lord, what do you want me to do for the rest of my life? I was about 5 years old, and we were having this gathering, and there was a priest there. And the priest looked at me, and he said, Dave, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I looked at him, and I said, I want to be a priest. And my mother and dad, they're, oh, that's so sweet. If he would have been a doctor, I would have said, I want to be a doctor. If he would have been a lawyer, I would have said, I want to be a lawyer. So that's why I wanted to study politics, right? Because I would just say whatever somebody wanted me to hear, right? What is that deepest desire of your heart? And that was really for the struggle for me. And the thought about being a priest was always in the back of my mind. My mom and dad prayed every day of their married life that one of their kids would be a priest. There's five boys in my family, so we pulled straws, all right? We got together. The short straw becomes the priest. I got the short straw. Now, when the kids, my nieces and nephews are acting up, I got the great deal of it, amen? What is the deepest desire of your heart? Because I never did this because I didn't want to get married. That was the struggle for me. My mom and dad have been married for 60 next year. Yeah. I mean, just my mom and dad have a really cool marriage. And I could look at this and I could say, the marriage is fantastic. So for me, it was trying to get to the deepest desire of my heart. Like I remember being in high school and I remember specifically saying, I will never become a priest because priests have to go to school for so long. And I hated school. Amen? Amen? Hated it. And I just couldn't imagine going to school for that long. And yet, when I was in the second year of college, I was just kind of wrestling with what it was that God wanted me to do. And I remember I was at home, and I was wrestling with this call that I thought that maybe God would want me to be a priest. But here's what was bothering me. What would my older brothers think? I had two older brothers, and I was wrestling with, would they think this is manly? Would they think it was cool? And it was really, really providential. At this time, my older brother didn't live with us in my family anymore. And I remember I was just sitting with my dad, and I was struggling, and I was frustrated. And my brother happened to come home for dinner that night. He never came home for dinner, but he came home for dinner that night. And the day that I was talking to my dad, and my brother comes into my room, and he said, Dave, I'm going to get emotional. He said, Dave, I heard that you were worried about becoming a priest because you were worried about what I would think about it. He said, Dave, nothing would make me happier. To be able to do the will of God means that we have to be free. We have to be free of what other people think, what other purpose, because the other side was my mom and dad. I mean, my mother and dad, to be able to tell them I was going to be a priest, it's like, oh, I mean, my mother cries. She still cries about it, all right? So, but I couldn't do it because of that. And I remember writing my dad, and I said, Dad, sometimes I think, I was away at the time. I said, sometimes I think I'm going to become a priest just to make you guys happy. And my dad, I remember he wrote me back We used to be able to write things on a piece of paper and you'd put it in an envelope. No, seriously. And you'd put it in a box and it would show up in another box somewhere else. It was called a letter. It was amazing, all right? My dad told me, he said, Dave, that's not of God. He said, you doing things just because you think it's going to make Mom and I happy, that's not of God. You do it because it's what God wants you to do. To be able to do the will of God means that we have to be free. We have to be free of what other people are going to say. We have to be free of what our family's going to think. And we have to be only concerned with what God wants us to do. Amen? Amen. So, I took a year off of college and I went and spent a year with Net, because I was figuring I could just spend a year just kind of praying and thinking about that. And from there, I went and I transferred from colleges to Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio. Amen. I remember I was sitting on a bench. I was just really pouring my heart out to God, and I was praying, and I kept on saying, God, what do you want me to do? What do you, just tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. And I was really at that place that it didn't matter. Whatever he asked me to do, I would do. And I heard the Lord say something to me that has forever changed my life, all right? And it's what I continue to pray about this day 30 years later. I was saying, what do you want me to do? And Jesus said to me, Dave, give up that which you want to know for the one who wants to tell you. Give up that which you want to know for the one who wants to tell you. Because what I realized is I was making the will of God kind of like this secret, and I was just trying to figure it out. And if I read the right article, talked to the right person, went to the right tree, did the right, all of this, and I would figure out what God wanted me to do. And God's saying, chill out. Just seek me. And if you seek me, you're going to know what I want. So a little while after that, I'm sitting on this bench, and I'm talking to a friend of mine, and he says to me, what do you think God wants you to do? What do you want to do? And I was thinking the deepest desire of my heart. And I said, I remember I was sitting on this bench, it's like it was yesterday, and I said, I want to be a priest. The clouds opened up, and the dove, Holy Spirit, landed. No, none of that, right? What was there? There was peace. How do you know what it is that God wants you to do? There's peace. It was that deepest desire of my heart. And as soon as I said that, there was a peace that came with it. Amen? But how do we know? How do we know? It's important for us to realize. Figuring out God's will, discernment, praying about it, is always between two goods. Marriage is a good thing. I think I could have gotten married. I think I would have been a decent parent, right? Marriage is a good thing. Being a priest is a good thing. Discernment, doing God's will, is always between two goods. You do not have to pray about, should I go to a college or should I be a drug dealer? Actually, I could probably make more money doing drugs. And then if I made money doing drugs, I could give to the poor. So maybe this is what God wants me to do, right? Doing God's will is always, discernment, this praying, this figure out, is always between two goods. Amen? And it's important that we understand that sometimes I think we just get caught up and we get almost paralyzed about, well, what is it that God wants me to do? And I think, and this is going to probably bother some of you, I think sometimes God doesn't care. Augustine said, love God and do what you will. I remember I was at a retreat, and it was a vocation retreat. Two people I met there, one of them was there, and they said, well, why are you here? And he said, well, because I failed at everything in my life. Maybe God wants me to be a priest. That's not why God wants you to be a priest, amen? The other thing is, there was this guy, and he was standing before a Coke machine, and he was just standing there, and I'm like behind him in line, and he's just standing. And it's like, I said, what are you doing? He goes, well, I just want to do what God wants me to do. I said, well, I'm pretty sure he wants you to get out of the way so I can get a Coke, all right? But seriously, he's sitting there praying about whether or not he was going to get a Coke or a Sprite or die. God doesn't care, amen? Just get out of my way so I can get something to drink, all right? But that's the thing, is that discernment is always between two goods. God is not going to ask you to do something that's against his will. So here's something that you might find helpful. Let's say 5 years from now, you wake up after a big party on Saturday night, and you're asking yourself, should I go to Mass today? The answer is always yes. We don't have to discern between something that's right and that something is wrong. The discernment, God's will, his plan revealed to us, always reveals and brings us to the place that is true. Amen? God never is going to ask you to do anything that's against the teachings of the church, against Scripture, so we can always figure out, does this seem to be consistent? Does this seem to be what God is asking me to do by, is it right? Is it honest? Is it good? Is it holy? Amen? Finally, you need to pray. The last thing that Chris Pratt said is he said, learn to pray. It's good for you and it's good for your soul. Ultimately, that's where God reveals himself to us. And there's this one little exercise that I've done for years and when I was at the university with students all the time. And that is whenever you're praying about something, you've got choices to make. Take a look at both of those choices and do this little exercise. One, make a decision of what you're going to do. So let's say colleges, okay? You're going to discern. I don't know which college I'm supposed to go. So you're supposed to go to college A or college B. Make a decision. I'm going to go to college A. And sit with that for a week. And just pray about that and think about that. And what questions come up? What anxiety? How does it cause you to be nervous? What does it cause you to be anxious? Or those kinds of things. And then just kind of for 1 week. And then take some time and think, what kind of peace came with that? What kind of anxiety? Then do exactly the opposite. I'm going to go to place B. Exactly the same thing. Think of all the consequences. What is it going to be like to live up north or south? And all of the consequences. Ultimately, God speaks to us through his peace. Here's the thing. I don't think God is up there, like, if we're trying to do his will, I don't think God is up there mad at us and saying, you better get this right. There's a quote that I really like, and it's by Thomas Merton. And the reason I point this out is because I think sometimes we've got this really weird idea of God that if you give your heart to the Lord, you're trying to do what he wants, you want to be faithful, God is not up there like, and you say, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be. God's not like, no, you that was not what you're supposed to do. What's your problem? Like, and smite you, right? As long as we're trying, if I was God, there would be a lot more smiting. But as long as we are trying to do what God delights in that. He delights in your trying to do what he wants. Amen? So Thomas Merton says this, and I think this is cool. He says, my Lord and my God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor if I really know myself, and the fact that I think I'm following your will does not mean that I'm actually doing that. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And that I hope that I have this desire all of my life. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right path, though I may not know anything about it. Therefore, I will trust in you always. Though I may seem to be lost and I may be in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Amen. Let's pray. Just take a moment. And what do you hear? Not what do you hear me saying. What do you hear the Lord saying to you? We're reminding what the prophet Jeremiah says, I know well the plans I have for you, plans of peace and prosperity. That God has a will for your life. Not just 5 years from now, 10 years from now, not whether or not to get married or be a priest or be a nun or be, but tomorrow he has a will for you. And that will is to be in relationship with him. That will is for you to be a saint. That will is for you to serve other people. To love your family, to forgive your siblings. God's will for you is not a secret. It's not a riddle. He desires to make it known to you. Lord, help them to know the deepest desire of their heart, their deepest longing. Free them from opinions of other people, desires to please. Free them from fear of what other people would think, what their friends would think. Allow them to choose to follow you. Father, that you have a will for their life. And I pray that you'd make that known. that you will bring forth from this congregation saints, young men and women of courage, of strength, of integrity. Mother Mary, at this moment we ask for your intercession that you would go before the throne of the Father on our behalf and pray that we would be faithful to what God asks of us. We pray together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.